beautiful music. Thank you for starting our worship service off so well. We thank Ms. Jody Marshall for leading us in worship this morning, and we are glad that you are here. We like to find out who is in worship today. The way that we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you can, and send it down so everybody on your pew has a chance to fill out that pew pad. We do ask, once it comes to the last person and you are done, send it back to where it got started. And we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Several announcements I'll draw your attention to there in your bulletin. Under upcoming events, opportunities for the week, many things that are happening. I'll highlight a couple of them. We are having a called conference this coming Wednesday, May the 6th. We were voting on three separate items listed there in your bulletin. Make sure you read that. Also, another event that's happening is a church-wide baseball game. No, we're not playing as a church. We're going to watch it as a church. And so it's going to be Sunday, May the 17th, 2 p.m. We need to reserve those tickets. Deadline is next Sunday, and they are $11 a piece. So please make note of that. You can pay off the kiosk or let, there will be sign-up sheets soon for that. Let's see. Also, it is exam time. Our college students are, some have already finished exams, but many are in the midst of exams. And we are traveling tomorrow to begin giving those here around town and around the state. And we need exam pack goodies to, excuse me, to go in them. We make about 50 of these exam packs. We need individually wrapped, could be store-bought or homemade. Raymond prefers homemade, of desserts or goodies to go on these exam packs. So if you're able to provide up to 50 individually wrapped items by this afternoon, the youth will be putting them together tonight, and you can put them, there's a table as you come in the main entrance, you can leave them there. That's very convenient for you to drop them off this afternoon. We very much appreciate that, and the college students are happy to see the exam packs when they come. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Just make note of those things, please. We want to say a special welcome to our guests now. You gave us information on your pew pad a few moments ago. Very thankful for that. If you are a guest, we'd like to give something to you. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will recognize you. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. I know many of you were a part of the great revival services this past week, and many were not. They will be available on the website to be able to see them. I laughed. Matthew, who's all of five, kept, when we left church Wednesday night, he said, "Are we going to do this tomorrow night? And are we going to do it tomorrow night?" Because he loved going to the playground for revival. That's what he did. Was anybody else exhausted? We were, as good as it was, I was glad that it was over on Wednesday night. Revival can wear us out. But the truth is, revival's not over. Even when we're tired, even when we're exhausted, that's when we need God to revive us again. Even when we don't know the answers to the questions, that's when we need God with us. Revival is not on our calendars. Revival is our lives. How we speak to one another. How we treat one another. How we spend our time. Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? True revival happens every day. And that's what you and I have been called to. Revival. For that's what God deserves. Because he gave us his son. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. What a gift we have this Sunday morning, God, to be reminded everywhere we look in the beauty of the sunshine or in the smile of our neighbor, in the laughter of children, the beauty of music, the truth of your scriptures revealed. We have so many proofs of how much you love us and that you are alive and you're working in our world. This fact gives us strength for today, purpose for our journey. Revive us each day, we pray. Be in our midst. Send your Holy Spirit to speak to us. Mold us, shape us, convict us. Be near us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have you ever worried that there was something in the closet when you're sitting? sleeping at night. Have you ever thought that? We all thought that. We got another conversation. All right. What do you do when you're scared or you fell down and got a boo-boo? What happens? Sometimes we start crying or we're just hurt, right? What's the one thing that always makes it better? What's the one thing? Yeah? What's one thing that makes it better? Go under your blanket as you want to hide.
Our reading from God's Word today, this portion of our service is from John 15. These words will be familiar to you, but I invite you to listen to them as if you're hearing them for the very first time. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. May God bless this very rich word for us today.
Thank you. As many of you know, I've taught kindergarten for a long time. We won't mention that. But to help children remember things, you always had to give them a little sign or some little symbol to do. So I want each of you to hold up your hand. I want you to stick your thumb up and stick out your pinky like you're drinking tea and hold it up to your ear. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we heard your call this week at our revival through fellowship, music, and your word. Now that we have heard, let us answer that call in the many ways that you will put on our heart. It may be to pray. It may be to teach. It may be to build. It may be to go. It may be just to love. It may be to be a friend. We don't know each other's calls, but we can hear our call and answer if we will just listen. Now as we accept the call to give, let us give as the homeless man we heard about this week who gave his last 18 cents. Let us give to further your kingdom. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Beautiful choir.
That was beautiful. Well, just for the record, I no longer get one of the exam packs. But I do, it is truth, I do prefer the homemade goodies. And there was a day and time when I was traveling the state delivering those with my fellow road warriors, Lawrence Hudspeth and Don Wilson and Rusty Rose, and we did enjoy some of those homemade snacks. We really did. That was good eating. At 2 o'clock in the morning, you need a chocolate chip cookie and a Mountain Dew. You just need that. We are delighted you're here today. I know we have some new friends with us today. We had a large number of new friends in the 9 o'clock service, the recreation service, but we're delighted that each of you are here, whether you came by way of the revival services or just found your way here by being invited or just spirit-led and said, hey, that's where I would like to go today. We are delighted that you're here. Among our guests are some longtime friends of mine, Lois and Linda McKinnish. Lois and I go all the way back to my elementary school days. And her husband, Harold, was a role model of mine for years and years and years, served on my ordination council, and nothing but great respect for all of your family. Our daughter, Linda, many of you may recognize from Wake Forest Divinity. Their son, Jimmy, I have kind of a love-hate relationship with because I loved his voice. He had one of the most beautiful voices can ever imagine for a teenage male, just kind of a Jeremy-esque kind of thing. That'll help you kind of relate to it. So I loved his voice, but I hated when he was always in the talent contest because he always beat my sister at county competition. So I loved his voice, but I didn't particularly care for him. And in your sense, a great appreciation for you and your whole family. So welcome. Delighted that you all are with us today. I hope that you had a chance to rest after revival. And that was part of the reviving process, is getting a couple of nights of good rest together. We had a great time out under the tent together. And I want to kind of pick up a little bit where we left off in terms of the call. And we'll be following the lectionary text from 1 John chapter 4. Let me read that to you. I invite you to join with me reading along. If you brought your Bible, wonderful. If you didn't, there should be a pew Bible there close by to you. We'll be reading from 1 John chapter 4. 1 John's all the way over in the New Testament, just before you get to Revelation. You've got the John letters there. So not dear John letters, but even though it starts dear friend, this is not a dear John letter. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. There's another translation that reads, this is how God showed his love for us. I like this one better. God's love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, as Jeff has already addressed. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for the chance to be together as your children, to learn truths from your word, truths that set us free, truths that drive out all fear, truths that reveal who you are and who you are among us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. A couple nights during revival, Randy mentioned or quoted children's songs. I don't know if you remember that. So I want to give you another one. Do you remember one that starts, praise him, all you little children? God is what? God is love. Yeah. Come on, choir. Yeah, yeah. God is love. Second verse goes, praise him, all you little children, because what? God is love. The third verse is, first verse is praise him. Second verse is love. The third verse, I thought it was serve. Did you all sing serve him, serve him? I did too, but officially speaking, it's thank him. Yeah, did y'all sing? Okay. But I always sang serve too. And it makes perfect sense, because if you're praising him and loving him and thanking him, you will serve him. Sure. You know, and if you look at those simple words from a children's song, that's pretty good theology. Praise him, love him, thank him, serve him. Why? Because God is love. You see, my point today is that we do a lot of praising, we do a lot of loving, we do a lot of thanking, we do a lot of serving. And why is that? Because God is love. The author of 1 John tells us, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And we should love one another because God is love and freely pours out that love to us as well as through us. You know, this command to love one another isn't just a sweet sentimental suggestion spoken to those who really don't need to hear it. Yesterday I did a wedding up at Shelton's Vineyards up near Dobson. And the couple that I dealt with, many of they came to our 9 o'clock service before he was transferred to Florida for a medical internship down there. And in conversation with them, I talked with them about 1 Corinthians 13, because that is when people say love, that's one of the things their mind automatically goes to. You got the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And it's quoted so often as, what does true love mean? Well, we go to 1 Corinthians 13 for a description of what love is. And unfortunately, slash maybe fortunately, in our world today, we talk a lot about love. But unfortunately, we talk about it from the emotional side, purely from the emotional side, or from the selfish side. But I want you to know, agape love is a serving, praising, thanking, loving love. In 1 Corinthians 13, if you go back and read that, it's not talking about ushy-gushy emotional feelings. It's not. It's talking about, look in verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. This is stuff you do. This is stuff you do. It's not about emotion. He's not talking about emotion. He's talking about how you express your love. Love is an action, not just an emotion. Yes, I understand it is emotion. And there was plenty of emotion in the wedding ceremony, okay, by both bride and groom. But they understood the groundwork going in. Yes, it is a good feeling, but it's more than that. It's serving, it's caring, it's being considerate, it's not being selfish. At the worst times in your life, it's about serving others. It's about caring for others. It's about encouraging. It's not about self. It's about God's love flowing through us to serve other people. Love, though easy in theory, can be hard to act out. Sometimes it's hard to practice. So how do you love those people? Who whose life mission seems to be unlovable. How many of you know someone like that? Don't say their name out loud. All of us know someone that just, they're bound and determined to be unlovable. So what do you do with those people? How do you deal with them? You see, no matter whether we're new to the faith or whether we're longtime Christians, we never reach the point where we've completely mastered God's love. You see, the great command, when they asked Jesus, you know, what do you think? What's the best one out there? And he said, love who? Yeah, both. But we'll get to the neighbor in just a minute. Love God with everything that you are and everything that you have, basically is what it says. And love who? Your neighbor as yourself. It's not either or, it's both and. So how do you love your neighbor as yourself, and how can you fully love God apart from him loving you first? It's a good question. You see, learning that, the answer to that question is a process, not an event. And it's a process we call discipleship. And it comes from walking with Christ daily. It comes from letting God's love flow through you as a conduit so that you only then are capable of loving him back and also loving your neighbor as yourself. And the author of 1 John understands, and he engages in this plea for us to love one another. Whether our starting point is indifference or hatred, we are called to love. Whether we already experience love, we are called to an even greater love. We are called to love more fully. We are called to love more widely, recognizing that the purpose of love is to draw us deeper into relationship with Christ and with one another. Love is a word, yes, but it's an action. It is what connects us with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's what connects us to the Creator, who knew that apart from his love, we're worthless. That's the point of the story in John 15. I've heard it preached, well, you know, if you're disconnected from God, you're going to get burnt up. Well, that's really not the point. The point of it is we're worthless. All we are is firewood. If we're disconnected from God's love, we're just something they would burn for heat. We're no good to God or humanity if we do not love, if we do not understand God's love. And in turn, this love propels us outward to share God's love with the world. As we answer the call, as we talked about last Sunday morning, the call to bring others to the table, to worship with us, to serve alongside of us. Loving God and loving neighbor are intertwined. You cannot separate one from the other and still honor God. Amen? You just can't do it. Jesus said, here's what you do. They're intertwined because God loves us, God loves among us, and God's love abides in us. Verse 16b, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. So God's love comes in our lives to stay if we allow it to, if we invite it to, if we are a willing conduit for it. And see, wherever we experience love, God's there. He writes on, love is this profound signal and a reminder of God's presence in our lives. God's very being is love, and he reaches out to us, among us, revealed himself to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. So here's kind of how it works. God's love flows into us and out through us, back to him and back into the lives of our neighbors. So love in this sense calls us into a completely new reality. It moves beyond our resentments. It moves beyond our criticism. It moves beyond our prejudices and our jealousies. It calls us to let go of all those long-standing grudges. Long-standing grudges against those people who have wronged us, those people who disagree with us, those people that we don't like. We didn't like what they said. We didn't like how they acted toward us. Love calls us beyond all of that. It melts away our impatience. It melts away our indifferences, our self-centeredness, and yes, even our denials and our betrayals. Just ask Peter. Oh, wait. We don't have to ask Peter. Think about yourself. Make it personal this morning. How do we deny Christ? How do we deny God's love? What do we say and what do we do that denies our relationship with Jesus Christ? You go, preacher, I've never said anything that says, well, I don't believe in God or I don't believe. No. I'm not talking about what you said word for word. I'm talking about what you said within context of a remark or a comment or what have you done? Your actions that pointed other people away from Jesus Christ and some other false God. How have you denied Jesus Christ? By your actions or your words? By your failure to love God and love others? You see, love transforms. It is incredible transforming power. We're rooted in God's love, claimed as God's children, as sons and daughters, and we're named as heirs to the throne. I mean, joint heirs with Jesus. I mean, it's all of that. It's that relationship that we have with God. We're drawn into community. We're drawn into fellowship with God and with one another. We're called to love one another in the same way that God loves us. And we're not capable of doing it without His love being shown to us first. It's kind of like a couple weeks ago, the young people had Youth Sunday, and if you'll remember right here, there's this huge thing, and it says, be these. Do you remember what the these were? Salt and light. It's kind of like that light bulb thing. You were given as you left here a salt shaker that had what in it? A light bulb. Be these. Salt and light. Let's talk about the light bulb for just a moment. There is this amazing little relationship between a light bulb and its electrical source. Light bulbs need electricity in order to function, right? Whether it's by a battery or by AC current, there's wires running to it, and the light bulb needs electricity. If the power goes out or the battery dies, the light bulb does what? It goes out. It doesn't burn. Even if there's nothing wrong with the bulb itself, and we won't get into that, it's a whole other sermon. We're assuming that the bulb is okay, all right? The bulb is okay, and so why does it not shine? Either the failure of a power source or the connection between the two. If electricity is present, the wiring is intact, and the bulb is not broken, the light will shine whenever the circuit is completed. We know that to be truth. The power itself, though, is hidden from our view. You don't see electricity, do you? Do you? What do you see? The evidence of it, the light, right? The light from the light bulb. You don't see the power. You don't see the transformational power. You see the transformation that has taken place because of the power. A bulb that is not lit becomes lit. In the same way, the world can see the power of God through us if we are connected to Him. The light bulb cannot shine on its own. It can't. It does not generate its own electricity. Despite what the world will tell you, neither can we generate true love. It comes from God because Scripture tells us God is love. It doesn't generate from within us. It comes from God. Love is God's energy, God's flowing through us, His power flowing through us. God's love, hidden and unseen, is most visible as we love Him and as we love other people. And that's for the world to see. And that is the sign that God's love is present in our lives. The gospel writer in John uses the metaphor that Krista read earlier. We use the light bulb and electricity. But the first century readers would have understood this perfectly. I mentioned I did a wedding up in near Dobson yesterday. And as I was there, I was looking out among the grapevines. And I was thinking about this story and the sermon this morning, thinking, what a gorgeous picture. First of all, the sun setting over that, it was just fabulous, okay? It was a remarkable scene. But all of those grapevines out there. And I thought, you know, if you went through there with a pair of pruning shears in about an hour, you could do a lot of damage. If you just went by and cut all of the branches away from the vine, that would be catastrophic for those grapes. And he says it, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear what? Fruit. Much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you are useless to the kingdom. Apart from me, we are useless. Apart from God, we are useless to the kingdom. That's strong. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like that branch, thrown away and withered. No good. Just firewood at that point. No use whatsoever. They understood that. First century readers would have got that. They would have understood that if they are not connected to the vine, there's no nourishment, there's nothing to sustain them. And without the source of power and strength in the vine, the branches cannot produce fruit. Cannot. It's impossible. Just like the light bulb, apart from the power source, cannot generate light. Our call this morning is to share Christ's love by loving God and loving each other. Again, from his word, God is love. Those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. It's more than a feeling, because love is not passive. God's love for us is active. It's bold. It's fierce. It casts out all fear. It's like the love of a protective parent. Don't mess with a mama's babies. No, we learned that lesson from nature. We also learned it from humanity. Don't mess with a mama's babies. The love of a protective parent who won't allow anything, any harm to come to their offspring. It's like the love of a friend who's willing to lay down his life for another. It's like the love of a brother or sister who's able to forgive and willing to forgive. God's love reconciles enemies. God's love unites us. God's love flows through us and becomes visible as we love him and as we love one another. God's love is poured out generously, unconditionally, freely poured upon us. And the most astounding fact of all is the fact that Christ's love comes to us as a gift. I don't get that. I do not deserve it. I cannot possibly earn it, nor do I have to worry about losing it. It's always there. I have to receive it and make myself a vessel, a conduit for his love, God's love for you and for I. It's certain. It's unshakable. It's unwavering. It's unbreakable. Receive it. And you see, the blessed irony is that we are incapable of loving God in the way that we should without first receiving his love for us. We can't even love him back until he loves us. We can't love our neighbor until he first loved us. And that's what Scripture says he does. He first loved us. Verse 9 again. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So that's it. That's it. Our lives become opened and have meaning by God's love. That's it. Step one, recognize God is love. Everything else is a cheap imitation. Step two, receive that love. Step three, be a conduit for his love back to him and to other people. That's the call this morning. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we thank you for these powerful words from your word, these instructions, these teaching about who you are and what you desire for us to be. And we pray that as we take what we have read this morning and what we have learned about you this morning, as we take that, from this very point forward, not waiting till tomorrow, but this afternoon, in the time following our time of worship, as we leave from here, that we would begin to look for opportunities to show your love to you and to those who need to see you in us. Help us to love you with all of our heart, with all that we are and all that we have, and help us to love our neighbor as ourself. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you have not experienced that kind of love that I've talked about, if you've not experienced that kind of love, then you need a personal relationship with God through his Son among us, Jesus Christ. And I invite you, as we stand and sing in just a moment, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. If you don't want to come down here, but you want to talk this week, give me a call. I'll be glad to meet you somewhere and talk with you about it. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but somehow I've just felt disconnected. Well, the connection wasn't broken by God. We are the ones that generally break that connection. So it literally is as simple as repenting. Turning 180 degrees back to where God is, going back into fellowship with God, making that decision, asking God to forgive you and start fresh with God. You can do that where you're standing and singing, or I'll be glad to talk with you. I'll also be open if you want to come here and pray. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of this church, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that as well. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. following the benediction, the response, I hope you'll take an opportunity to greet those around you, encourage one another, meet those who are guests and new friends. We also invite you back Wednesday night for those who are guests. We have family night, a supper that begins every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. You'll be my guest the first time you come. So that at least the first meal's free, right? Okay. All right. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, thank you for this time together. Father, it's been a time to worship and been a time to draw encouragement, also to learn more about you, and we thank you for those truths. As we go from here, we pray that our love would be active, not just a feeling, but something that we act upon daily. Teach us, encourage us, correct us when we need it, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.